What's up, guys? Welcome to the Social Bamboo Podcast, teaching the fastest and most sustainable social media growth strategies out there. I'm your host, Derek Vidal, and on today's episode, I got the pleasure of interviewing Ben Levitt. Ben is a social media genius. This guy is dominating YouTube with over 60,000 subscribers. He's just under 10,000 followers on Instagram. So go give him a follow and help him get over that 10K hump there. It's always, you know, such a grind for that last little bit because you chase that number for so long. And right once you get on the cusp, it seems like no one wants to follow you. So go follow him. Go help him get over 10K. But he is on Clubhouse, crushing it over there. He's on Twitter. He's just been on social media and very active for a number of years. So I had him come on because there's a lot that we could talk about. And even though there was a lot that we could talk about, we did get a narrow focus for this episode. And Ben really talks about a lot of the major struggles that entrepreneurs are going through right now. You'll hear me talk about this at the beginning of the episode, but Ben talks to entrepreneurs all day, every day, especially with the new app Clubhouse. He's been very active over there. So he has just literally been at getting asked and answering questions for startup entrepreneurs for weeks now, on end, just with very little stopping. Like every time I go on Clubhouse, he is on there just answering questions for people. So I brought him on because he has amazing insight. He runs an agency as well. So he runs multiple accounts in various different markets. So this guy just really knows what he's talking about with social media, and you'll really see what I'm talking about in a sec. I'm not going to introduce him any more than that. I think his content will be a phenomenal introduction for you guys to Ben here. But the one other thing I will say is that on Tuesday of this week, or excuse me, today is Tuesday. You might be hearing this episode on Wednesday though. But on Friday, so Friday the 12th at 2 p.m. Mountain Time, so 4 p.m. Eastern, that's something like 9 p.m. in the UK, I believe. I will be running a room on Clubhouse that is called Social Media Strategies That Still Work in 2021. Social Media Strategies That Still Work in 2021. So February 12th at 2 p.m. in my Clubhouse room. So if you just go find me at Derek Vidal on Clubhouse, you can get signed up for that. But yeah, it's free. It's just something you come, you can ask questions, you can even participate with me live there. It's a really cool thing. So you got a couple days to get Clubhouse if you want to join me in my first ever Clubhouse room. But it's going to be a lot of fun, and you'll be able to come on and, you know, we can talk about your account and all that other good stuff. So if you want to get a chance to meet me, here is my meet and greet. It is happening in a Clubhouse room on Friday, February 12th, 2 p.m. Mountain Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I have it linked in the description, but you will need to have a Clubhouse account for that link to work. So just go get one if you haven't already. But anyways, here is the interview with Ben, guys. Sit back, relax, get some notes ready. There is a lot to cover, and I think you're really going to like this interview. All right, guys, I am here with Ben Levitt, hailing from Canada. Common theme of the show is I keep finding all these entrepreneurs from Canada for some reason. But pleasure to have you on the show, Ben. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks so much for having me. And yeah, I think there's something in the water down here. It seems like there's a lot of entrepreneurs for sure.
Guys are on the rise. You are either the third or the fourth on. Also had Marley Jacks and someone named Rachel King. I think you might even be five. So I think I might have had more Canadians than Americans at this point. But love it, man. So Ben and I were just talking, and there really is so much that we could cover. Both of us are really just general social media marketing guys, and Ben dominates YouTube. He's been dominating Clubhouse. He's got an awesome following on Instagram. I'm pretty sure you're doing well on Twitter too. Like, you really have been on social media for a number of years here. But the thing that he's been doing a ton lately is just talking to a ton of entrepreneurs. He has been very active on Clubhouse, and obviously you talk to entrepreneurs on every platform. But he has been doing some major, like a 24-hour blitz. Did you say, Ben?
Yeah. So I literally stayed on Clubhouse for a YouTube video for 24 hours straight to document my growth on social platforms like Instagram, and also my takeaways from the platform specifically with Clubhouse.
Okay. So 24 hours on there as the leader of that room.
Correct. Like you may have had some moderator help.
I did a few different things. So like most of the time I was hosting rooms, and then I would also spend some time going into other rooms as well.
Oh, okay. So you just did all out, whether you're hosting or going into other rooms. Definitely. Either way, you talked to entrepreneurs, you answered their questions, and you heard just question after question. So you've got a really good taste of just what entrepreneur struggles are happening right now. So let's just start there, man. What would you say are some of the most common questions that you keep hearing from entrepreneurs nowadays?
Yeah, that in and of itself is a great question. And I think one of the biggest thing is not necessarily one specific question, but people keep asking questions before making any action. And I think you can ask questions till you're blue in the face, but if you keep asking the same question, especially if you're asking it to a ton of different people and you're not making any sort of progress, there's probably more of a reason as to why that's not moving forward than the question itself. That question is probably a microcosm of your own fear or your failure to launch. And I would, if you find yourself doing that and you're asking the same question again, just try it. Just start, just do something. Because I kept seeing even some people in my own rooms, they'd come and ask, I guess they forgot that they had asked me the question, and they would literally ask me the exact same question twice. So once you have any sort of loose direction, you don't know until you experiment and you try it. Like, you can ask experts all the time, but they're going to have different answers. They're probably going to have conflicting answers. So it's on you to take what you have and go try.
Truly, they will have slightly different answers, and really both of them could be accurate, but there's just so much gray space out there too that you have to just figure it out as you go. But I totally get you with people that ask questions in order to feel productive when they may have gotten the answer. They may have not heard it exactly how they want to hear it before, because maybe the answer keeps, people keep telling them it's going to be a lot of work, and they're not looking for that answer. They're looking for more of a shortcut or something like that. So I guess, what do you think is at the root of this issue? What could entrepreneurs that feel like they're in a position where they're maybe spending too much time on learning, which sounds weird, but they're just not mixing in the action with their learning. They're reading, or they're going to conferences obsessively. They're watching every video of Gary Vaynerchuk, but they're still like, I don't know what business to start. Like, what would you do in that situation?
For sure. And I think building on the core principle of this episode, that's one of the biggest things that I see with Clubhouse, is that it has the potential to be a major, major time suck and allow you to create the false perception that you're being highly productive. So, and I think that can spew over into any sort of different social media. People can trick themselves into thinking they're being productive because they're watching Gary Vee, like you said. I think that if you want to be an entrepreneur, learning is going to be something that you should make a constant in your life. Always. Like, I think it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, you should always be trying to learn more things, because things just change so quickly. And if you're not learning, you're falling behind. But I think that it should be more like 80 on action, 20 on learning. And the more that you grow, probably more on the action side and even diminish the learning. So what I would say is that when you set aside learning, understand, have a direct outcome, have a time constraint, because we as humans, we use the time that we have. So if you need to teach yourself something in an hour, you're going to learn it. But if you give yourself 4 hours, you're going to take the full 4 hours. So I think coming into any sort of learning expedition with a clear focus and direction, and then restraints, is very, very important. And then also having like clear benchmarks or restrictions as to when you're going to perform certain actions, because you can learn forever. And if you don't even try, you're never going to get to where I see the real learning is from you actually failing and trying things. And I think because people get so focused, they look at the people that they look at. So let's say even people who watch my videos, they look at my videos today and they want their first video to be like my most recent video. That's not realistic. My first videos were awful. Right. And I'm sure I'll say that about my videos today, a few years from now. It's about embracing that and figuring out that that's part of your journey and not stressing so much about that. I think the biggest thing is just getting the ball rolling.
And you'll need to find who you are as an entrepreneur, because it's really hard to follow someone's path exactly and make it work. It's you can model, but you really have to find your own voice. And that can only happen through your own experimentation and failure. So obviously that's important, taking the action. The thing that you said there that I want to dissect on, because is so much easier said than done, is, you know, set these time constraints, just do it in an hour and make sure you do it, and stick to your schedule and follow, you know, what the plan that you have in place. I totally get that. For me, I've tried every type of schedule out there. I was in direct sales for 7.5 years, and we would just, you know, schedule these appointments and we'd drive around to them and we'd have to set them and make phone calls. So we'd have to try all these different variations of, oh, I'm going to try, like, I'll make 150 phone calls every Tuesday and Thursday night, and that's my whole week. Oh, that didn't really work for me. I'm going to do 20, 20, 20, 20. Like, tried every variation, being very strict with schedule. I'm, you know, kind of ADD, and a lot of entrepreneurs are, and we like to take constant action, but sticking to one thing can be hard. And sometimes we'll be doing an action and think, wait, maybe this other thing is more important that I should be doing, and switch tasks. Like, that's me at least, but I do know that is a large percentage of entrepreneurs who, you know, even if you're not ADD, you're constantly guessing, am I on the right path or not, right? So it's easy to switch tasks. What does your schedule actually look like? If we look at your calendar right now, do you do a written one, a digital one, and like exactly how refined are you down to the minute?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say like I'm like Elon Musk or anything like that, where I plan every minute of my day. I just think that a lot of people, and entrepreneurs included, there are certain tasks that they're dodging for certain reasons. And I would say that a good rule of thumb is to prioritize those. Like, if you keep pushing something off, there's probably a reason as to why you're doing that. So make that a priority, just get it done. And it's probably got to do with fear. And the second that you get it done, that fear has gone away and it opens you up to more things. So for my specific schedule, I do both a written one. So like, I'll plan out like a to-do list. I'll typically write it the day before in my notes app, and then I'll write it down. I have a 15-minute block calendar, so I'll use that pretty frequently. And then when it comes to appointments or, say, podcast calls like this, I use Google Calendar. So it's not definitely not a perfect system, but the thing that I love that you said leading into this question is that there is no perfect system, really, right? So just because a system works for someone else doesn't mean that it will work for you, nor should you force yourself to be put in those constraints. It's the same like people say, wake up at 5:30 a.m., but if that doesn't work for you, then that doesn't work for you. And that's totally okay. Don't beat yourself up because you're not getting up at 5:30. It's all about like a macro, like how much are you actually putting forward in terms of effort and execution. That's what matters. These little nuances of when you're getting it done or what scheduling app you're using, they really don't matter. It's all about what works for you. So I would say have the confidence in yourself to figure out and try different things. And if something does work for you, stop questioning it. Run with that. Like, you don't have to be told by five people that something works for it to actually work. Like, you know.
Got it. Okay, great answer. Yeah, it definitely is subject to who you are as a person, what you're trying to accomplish. Do you have another job, or are you full-time entrepreneur? Like, how much time can you give? What are your real goals for this? Like, everything is so personalized with it. So again, kind of boils it back down to like just getting started and, you know, going through the failures and everything that we were just talking about. But sure. I think what a lot of people, they want examples, right? They don't want to just be told to like write their goals for the year. They kind of want to look at, what are these businesses, you know, such as mine and yours, that are maybe a little bit more developed than some, what would your goals look like for the years? As someone who's really trying to dominate social media, you got a new podcast coming out, right? Called Social Media University, or is this one that you've had for a while?
So it's the same show I've had for a while. We've just rebranded it. Okay, and we did that about 3 weeks ago.
Okay, excellent. So you've been running that show for a while, but you're doing a rebrand. I'm sure you got big goals right now. When you're looking at your year, if you're boiling it down to like those 3 to 5 things that would really make this year a win for you, what would those be?
Yeah, that's a great point, because you only have so much that's within your control. And then a lot of other things, they're not completely. So what I did for the first time this year is, two of my fellow entrepreneur friends, we kind of formed a mastermind or an accountability group. And coming into that, we had to establish like quarterly rocks. And he pulled the framework from a book. I forget what the name of the book was, but so quarterly rocks that feed into our yearly goals. And so a lot of my yearly goals were revenue figures for my business, totals in terms of listenership for the podcast and followers for the YouTube channel. And while those goals are great, I don't have direct control over those goals. Like I can't force myself to get a million subscribers. If I could, I would, and it would happen today. But what I can control is my output and be realistic with myself as to what kind of output do I feel is necessary and realistic for me to get to that desired outcome. And how does that look? And how do I put myself in a situation to do that consistently and sustainably? So that's a big one for me, is just like working backwards from where you want to be and also focusing on the things you can control versus what you can't. Like for me to get to a million this year, so that my goal for YouTube is 250,000 subscribers this year. Like that's the goal. I can't pick when those come, right? So all I can control is how many small wins I'm stacking in terms of video. So I prefer to track backwards from output. So when I'm tracking my goals, it's how many TikToks I'm posting, how many YouTube videos I'm posting, how many podcast recordings, things of that nature, things that are quantifiable and actually progressively moving me towards where I want to be.
Hey, Bar and Grill fans, it's Jim with Madhouse Bar Talk, where me and my co-hosts sit around and talk about the things going on around Madhouse Bar and Grill in Elyria, Ohio. The whole conversation is unscripted, uncensored, and unedited. Anywhere where you stream podcasts, just remember, Madhouse Bar Talks, baby.
So your goal might look like, I want to put out 40 YouTube videos, this many TikToks, like even this many Instagram posts.
Exactly.
Okay. So do you, like, could you tell us like how many YouTube videos like you're looking to put out this year, or is it like this many per month, or how do you actually break down the final metric?
Yeah. So the goal for this year has been 2 YouTube videos per week.
Okay.
And then Instagram, I have specifics written down in my Google sheet, but I can't remember exact specifics. And then TikTok was 1 per day or 7 a week. So that also gives me a little bit of wiggle room there too, right? So say if I forgot a day or 2, I can make up for it down the line by posting more. So it's still giving myself a little bit of freedom within the restriction. So that way I'm not like totally falling off the wagon, because if you set yourself up like that, it's very easy to get overwhelmed and then just completely fall off. Whereas I'll still have opportunities to run. And I have a little tracker app in my phone where every time I post something, I'll just push it up one notch. So I'm getting closer to the overall goal. Yeah. So I think it's 2 YouTube videos per week, 7 TikToks, like a 3 to 4 Instagram posts per week of varying kinds, and then 1 podcast episode per week for like personal branding. And then the other goals are business specific.
And you may have, you know, had some subscriber numbers and stuff like that in mind. And the, like, you have those to yourself. Those are maybe not the metrics that you're, you know, you have a goal thermometer, you know, we'll say around, because you're more tracking the action steps around it. And then, what are just, some ways that you're monetized? I think a lot of people, it's such a common question is like, how do you make money on Instagram? Right. Or how do you make money on YouTube? So like, it's different on every platform. Right. And like the most common answer is just using it as a traffic source to sell whatever you sell. What are some of the ways that, you've monetized over the years, and what are some of the major ways you're looking to do so, this year?
For sure. So that's obviously the big question, right? Everyone wants to know about money, because at the end of the day, that's why a lot of people get into this stuff, right? And I don't think that's a bad thing, but it's actually a very good thing to think about from the beginning and then build it into a reality. So some of my biggest monetization streams are like YouTube AdSense isn't actually one of the biggest ones, but it's what people think about when they think about YouTube money. So that one's okay. It's definitely not one of the bigger ones. Affiliate marketing is a pretty decent portion of like my personal income that comes in consistently. And then what's been a huge tool is the YouTube traffic that's funneled into our agency. So that way we haven't had to have paid sales staff really, because it's all inbound leads, which is awesome. And then another way that is, I think, is amazing to really leverage YouTube specifically is to have info products, whether it be paid courses or eBooks, things of that nature, because of the search engine functionality of YouTube. Everybody who's finding it, or the vast majority, they either sought out that kind of content specifically, or YouTube knows them enough to show them it because they likely do want it. So that high level of intent is very, very valuable. So if you have a product or a solution to the problem that you know they have, it's a great, great way to make money. And the majority of people that are in my space specifically that don't run agencies, they're making almost all their money off of info products. So that's a core focus of mine moving forward, is to really do that right. And that's what's, I think that's what's stopped me to this point of not having a course or an info product, is because I really want to do it right. But I'm sure I'm letting analysis paralysis set in myself. So I am trying to do that this year as well. But the biggest revenue streams are the agencies, the biggest, and then affiliate marketing, and then YouTube AdSense would be the big three, if you will.
Got it. Okay, cool. I like what you said there, though. Like you said, you haven't got into courses. You don't know if that's a limiting belief or not. I always talk like that too. Every time I say something, I'm like, that could be a limiting belief. Like having that awareness is really a good entrepreneur trait right there, to acknowledge it. But I actually think you are doing it right. I think you can get into courses earlier and you're just going to have more refinement. Like people are going to go through the courses and you're going to have to go through it a lot, because it's just based off of your experience and not people's experience going through the course. So I kind of had that, I did like an early course for a beta group of students who went through it. They got the training live and then we went back and forth and then I redid the whole training. But if you've already done all of this done for you work, you don't even have to have like refinement. You can just go create a perfect piece of course content right away. Like it's already tested in so many different markets. And that's really the thing is when you try to turn it into a course, it's like, have you tried this out on different businesses? Otherwise you can't teach it to the masses yet. So I think the way you did, it's great. And I think an agency is a quick path to 4 to 5 figures. It's a much quicker path to 4 to 5 figures a month than going to courses right away. So yeah, your path, that makes sense, dude, for sure. So tell us a little bit about the agency, and are you trying to grow that, or are you trying to, just really focus in on the digital products and scale back from that?
Yeah, no. So I think that's the thing that I'll do for a very long time, and as long as we keep delivering results for people. So the agency, we focus primarily on organic social. That's like our biggest core emphasis. So YouTube and Instagram. So our perfect client is typically a business or somebody who has something in place to sell. And then specifically course creators are people that we've found great success with, again, because of that high intent nature of YouTube traffic. And we're very good at YouTube SEO. So, and coming up with ideas as well as spotting trends before they take off. So that's a big core focus of the agency. And then we also do have a paid ad side for social as well. So we can help the majority of people, but I think as we've grown, we've also become far more selective as to who we work with. Whereas I think this is the case for almost every business. When you're early on, you're like, yeah, let's do it. Work for everyone.
$100, sure.
Exactly. Like, whatever, let's do it. Now at this point, we're far more selective with who we work with. And obviously that comes with it, the prices that we charge, because we know we're good at what we do and we know we can deliver results. But that's the core of the agency. I think I'll continue to scale that slowly. And I think, again, being very selective with who we're working with. But I don't see info products becoming the main point. I think it's just something that I'm leaving a lot on the table by not doing that. And plus, with a lot of the consulting that I do, it's just not scalable. Whereas if I had a product where I could, oftentimes I'll see very consistent themes amongst the consulting calls that I have. And if I could go way more in depth in a course or even like a membership program, I think that would make more sense from even the people that I'm helping standpoint, because I can help at scale. So I think they'll both be parts of the business moving forward, but I don't see the courses completely overtaking it unless like the money just made so much sense where I had to focus on that.
I think something that's important to note about your story here is that even like, no matter which way you go with it, it doesn't matter. You have an audience, you have a significant audience on multiple platforms. If we added up your YouTube subscribers, plus your Instagram follows, plus the Clubhouse and everything, it'd probably be like over 50. What is your YouTube at now?
YouTube's at 63,000.
Oh, 63. Okay, cool. So that's the biggest one, right?
Yep.
Excellent. But yeah, 63K subscriber, even with that alone, that's pretty damn secure, a pretty damn secure business, right? I mean, you never want just one traffic source. It'd be a pretty fragile business at the same time if it was your only one. But I mean, assuming that it couldn't get disabled or banned or anything, and it was just yours forever, like that's even a significant amount of traffic to drive most of these offers, especially this agency work where you can charge, a few $1,000 a month, 60K plus subscribers to find those 10 to 20 clients you need is not hard. So there really is a lot of power in social media. And you're playing the long game with social media, as am I, where we're always growing on the new platforms, we're always expanding it off. So is that kind of thing, is, would you say that your vision over the next 5 to 10 years as an entrepreneur, like, we can only have it so much, right? Because there's going to be a new social media platform. Who knows what it is? Maybe you're extremely good at it and you love it and you just double down on that one. Who knows what will happen? But as far as you know right now, what would you say your 5 to 10 year vision as an entrepreneur is?
That's a great question. And I think in the space that we work in, it's difficult to even go 5 years down the road because of how quickly things change. But I think YouTube will be a core focus of mine for until YouTube goes away. And the thing is, as these new platforms come and go, there's been one constant, it's been YouTube. And I think it's because of how much value there really is there. And the search engine, that can't be overstated, like how truly impactful and game-changing that is for the creator and the consumer. It just makes such a great experience. So I think YouTube will be my core focus. Over the next few years, I'm going to absolutely focus on this and building the social media marketing elements of that. Eventually, I would love to scale it to the point where I can make more general videos, maybe even on a different channel. While I've secured myself financially to do that. So I think social media will be a massive part of my life until it goes away. But I would love eventually get to the point where, like, I got into the social media space because I was an entrepreneur at heart. And I would love to get to the point where I have the financial backing and the resources to be a serial entrepreneur. So start businesses, scale it, maybe sell them. So that's where I would love to be. And within 5 years, I would hope to be at that kind of position where that's possible for me to do on a consistent basis. And what that looks like from a social media perspective, obviously just slowly scaling the different communities so that I have more leverage and really doing what I'm doing now. I just like to be doing it better and helping more people.
Is this much certain? In 10 years, you'll still be an entrepreneur?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I think cool. I'll be an entrepreneur when I'm like 80. I knew I was gonna be an entrepreneur when I was 10 years old. I was telling everybody that I would never work for people. And even when graduated from
school. So you had parents that were?
Yes. So my dad and my mom both ran their own business. And I just knew that was for me too. I was also, I'm a bad employee. I'm always thinking about my own things and wanting to solve problems. And even as an employee, like, you're supposed to help the team, but I'm always thinking about, I would do this completely differently. And so I always knew
have that control is like
tough.
I can't do this. Yeah,
exactly.
I got you. And it just seems like everyone's just like, just fit in, dude, just chill out. And it's like,
very much.
It's hard. Okay. Excellent. Well, lots of good stuff so far. Let's go just one conversation deeper even on entrepreneurship in general, because I think you've really got a good sense of what it means to be an entrepreneur overall, and just, you're going to roll with the punches over time. You've seen a lot of success so far. I'm sure you've gone through a ton of failures too. So I just appreciate your perspective overall. And you've got a great vision of where the world is going with the amount of conversations you're having. And this is something that I am telling almost all new businesses, that if you really want to figure out your offer quick, get customers on the phone, get them or in an audio, like whether it be on Clubhouse or voice message, get them on audio somehow, even if you're selling the cheapest thing, just so you can hear all their objections, because otherwise they're just leaving your website and you have no idea what they are. But I got so much more clear on my offers after I had conversations with people. So I just know that you're very clear with the amount of conversations that you've had over the years. If we look at the macroscopic model of entrepreneurship, obviously 2020 was a test for businesses being able to adapt or not. 2021, we could be in the same position, we could get out of it, who knows? We've been 2 weeks away from the pandemic ending since it started, right? So who knows where it's going? But here we got Elon Musk coming out yesterday, putting $1.2 billion of his assets into cryptocurrency. We got major moves happening. We got maybe another major stimulus plan happening in America. What are you like? Is there some things that you can reflect on that you think entrepreneurs need to particularly pay close attention to this next year?
Are you interested in small businesses? My name is David C. Barnett, and I've been podcasting and producing YouTube videos about buying, selling, financing, and managing small and medium-sized businesses for almost 10 years. I'm a former business broker and have owned and operated several businesses, and I've been advising business owners since the 1990s. Each week, I create a new podcast which answers one of your questions, and I've always got amazing, exciting guests. You can find me on YouTube by going to smallbusinessanddealmakingpodcast.com or just search David Barnett Small Business in any podcasting app to find me. I look forward to seeing you around.
I think what you should be paying attention to, if you have like any sort of entrepreneurial itch, is that you should go try to scratch it. And it's never been easier to do so and more approachable than it is now with all the education that's out there, the resources at your disposal. And I recently just interviewed the founder of Entra, which is another social media app strictly for entrepreneurship. And their whole approach to everything is that they think that in 5 years, there will be more self-employed people than employed people. So I don't know if I would agree to the full extent. I think that's a little bit extreme, but I do see it skewing that way more and more as time goes on because it just makes so much sense. Like I live the life that I live and I work hard, but I work when I want to work. And that kind of freedom was something that I created for myself within like a year or two. That's crazy. That is so realistic. And I have this conversation with anybody who will listen. It is truly possible. Like if you're willing to put in the time and effort and sacrifice a little bit here and there, you're going to get it back eventually, right? So I think be focusing on anything you want to do, go try it. And the principle of the minimum viable product is something that I'm a huge advocate and fan of. And you can try things out with very little cost, whether it be financial or even your time. Like you can get a feeler out there, like you said, with just conversations to see if it's a viable opportunity and then roll with it. As soon as you get a green light, go, because you don't know what it can turn into and how quickly things can scale because of all the tools and resources that we have at our disposal. So I say a big thing I'm focusing on is shifting your framework, because a lot of people, especially people who have been in the corporate system for a very long time, they attach that to their identity as like they're an employee, right? And they don't see more for themselves or more opportunities because they're in that box and they've accepted that, okay, this is my existence. There's entrepreneurs that are like 50, 60 years old that are making game-changing businesses and products today, right? So it doesn't matter how old you are, where you are, you could be an entrepreneur if that's something you want to do. Not saying you have to, but it has never been more approachable or easier to do so.
I have a lot of mixed thoughts on whether I agree with that or not, with that 50% stat you're saying there, because you can look at, like, if we look at, like, all right, Amazon FBA, right? When it came out, it's like huge opportunity, anyone can do it. And then like 5-10 years later, it's like, you better be a pro or it won't work. Same with like drop shipping. It's totally a great opportunity if you're an expert marketer that picks great products, that makes an amazing website with amazing upsells and amazing angles on your marketing ads. Like you have to be great at it. It's not just opportunity. Like anyone can be there. It's not like buying Bitcoin in 2013. All you got to do is show up. You know, you really got to show up every day and you have to create something. There's only so many working products, right? I don't know, limiting belief or not. There's only so many working offers. Saturation is maybe not a thing. You know, I think I get the case where people say saturation isn't a thing. But then there's also, but it is in a way. So I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah. So I think, Michael is his name. I think his prediction is, a little biased given the fact that his company is all about entrepreneurs, but I do think that it's going to continue to go that route. And I think exactly what you're saying is 100% true, but I think that exact approach to entrepreneurship is what's holding people back. They think about entrepreneurship and they think about dropshipping, Amazon FBA, and they're disregarding so many other avenues because they see these shiny things and they see people making millions. I'm not even talking about making millions. I'm talking about how realistic it is to make $50,000 or $60,000 being the Lego expert or the can, I have a candle right in front of me, being the candle guy. Like that is absolutely possible. If you find a certain amount of people that really love candles, you could sell them affiliate offers. You could make your own product and offer maybe how to make your own candle, have the candle podcast, right? Like that's what I'm referring to. That's never been more possible than it is right now. And I'm not going to say it's going to be super easy, but it is absolutely possible because of the advent of social media, right? Like these are engineered to get people who want your stuff in front of you. So that's more what I'm referring to. And I think it'll take a lot more than 5 years for it to ever reach that total. But I do think more and more people are going to be like, okay, this is possible. This is something that I can do, because they're going to see more people around them doing that. And I know, like, I was one of the first people in my immediate group to do stuff like this. Now, since everyone's been close to me, almost like so many people have now tried, right? Because they say, oh, Ben did this. Why can't I? And I'll be the first one to say it. You can do this. Like, I just did it. That's the only difference. And I think more and more people will have those light bulb moments, and it'll take them places where they didn't think previously were possible.
I think just you saying, like, you can make 50K as this, like, that's great right there. I think that's the thing that when people get into entrepreneurship, like, yeah, I just saw this ad about how you can make all this money, and you totally can. But if you get it into it for that reason, you won't be able to show up appropriately. You won't be able to innovate. You won't be able to go through the failures. You know, the first failure will be like, what am I doing? You know, you won't have started it for the right reasons. And really, you have to be okay. I want to do this so bad that even if I don't make much money at all for the first 3 years, I won't care. It'll feel great that I was just doing it. Like, I want to do it to create. I want to, like, if you would rather make 30K a year as that YouTube candle person than 75K a year as this other job, then you should do it. And then you do have opportunities from there. If you made 30K in a year, now, hey, let's start to innovate here. We got room to work with, right? You do have control of your income after that. But it also is just knowing, like, if you don't make a million this year, are you cool with that? If you don't even make 10K this year, are you cool with it? Because if you are, then you'll be able to stick it out because you'll love it regardless. But otherwise, if you're, you know, very money focused, as soon as it doesn't come, just so easy to second guess yourself.
100%, man. And that's, people ask me, like, if they should start a podcast. And my answer is always that, like, if no one was listening to the show and you were making $0, you still do it? If the answer is no, then don't do it.
That's good. Yeah. There's like an Elon quote about, like, if you need to ask for support, or if you need, I can't remember what it is, something like that.
Talking about, he said he was asked about advice for startup founders. And he said, if you need advice or guidance, sorry, if you need support, then don't start. Essentially, like, if you need someone to say to go do it, then you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, right. That's it's a massive leap to take. But yeah, I think everyone listening to the podcast, especially making it this far, is an entrepreneur, is a badass, is making moves right now. Maybe they're learning too much. So after this podcast, remember, guys, unsubscribe from every other podcast. I'm just kidding. But all right, just mine and Ben only. Ben, any closing thoughts, man? Where could they find you? Or if you want to say, hey, there's some stuff I still want to get out, dude, then go for it. We'd love to hear it.
Yeah, no, I think I've said the majority of what I was hoping to. I think the best place to contact me directly if you had any questions for me is over on Instagram. I still try to reply to every single DM over there. Also on Clubhouse, be sure to connect with us over there, because I will be hosting rooms pretty consistently on varying social media topics. So connect with me there. If you're looking to learn yourself, my YouTube channel is a great resource, just Ben Levitt over there. And I think the biggest thing I can say,
Ben Levitt on all of those, right?
Yeah. So I have underscores in some of them, but if you just type, you'll find me. I'm usually the first one that comes up if you type in Ben, LEAVITT. But the biggest thing is, I think, just if there's anything that you even remotely want to do, think about, at the end of the day, like, what happens if it doesn't work out? Nothing. You're in the exact same position. But think about the opposite. What if it does? And I think that's exactly the approach that I take with everything that I try, is I'm always like, oh, what if it does? And how much does that change my life? Focus more on that versus the potential loss of it failing, because at the end of the day, who cares? If no one listens, who cares?
Hitting those home runs without caring about striking out. So
exactly.
Sweet, man. Well, this is an awesome interview, dude. I'm sure you're going to get a plenty of DMs about how much people love this. So guys, don't ever be afraid to reach out. We love it too. If you want to DM Ben and just let him know how much you appreciated the interview, we absolutely love it. But go check him out on Clubhouse. We'll be doing some rooms together soon too, I'm sure. I've got one planned, guys, in a few days here. It is Tuesday right now that I'm coming out with this, but on Friday I'll be coming out with one. So if you want to join me, Ben, you can. But again, thanks so much, man. Have a good one.
Of course, thanks so much for having me, and I look forward to chatting soon.